if you will, let's turn our Bibles to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. As our brother had read to us a couple weeks ago, Christ was led by the Spirit. Imagine that. How's that possible? I hope we can see that this evening. They're one. He is God, a triune God. We just read there in our scripture reading how Christ prayed, "Not my will be done, but thy will be done." That could be confusing to us, couldn't it? Everything that's required of me, everything that's required of you to enter into God's holy presence, being led by the Spirit, praying, following the law, keeping it all, in heart and in deed, with the proper attitude, everything required of us, Christ completed that. We won't grasp that fully in this lifetime. We won't get a hold of it, but if we can get a glimpse of it. I hope today we can look a little bit at prayer. It's titled my message, "Thy Will Be Done." But it's always important whenever we read the Scriptures, we look at who is writing it, who they're writing it to, and why they're writing it. In our text, John is speaking. Apostle John is speaking to believers. He's writing to those born again, those that Christ dwells in. And he's been telling us over and over throughout this letter, throughout this epistle, to believe on Christ and to love our brethren. Now here in our text today, our wise brother, John, led by the Holy Spirit to pen these words, in love, he writes to us. He was moved by God to do this in love, to give us guidance and to give us comfort in our prayers. Look there in verse 14. 1 John 5, verse 14. "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." Now God only hears those who ask according to His will. Look there in verse 14 again. "This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." And the petitions that He hears, the ones that He hears, those prayers and requests He hears, He grants them. There in verse 15, "If we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we have desired of Him." Now, true prayer from a child of God is submitting to the Lord's will, asking Him to perform His will and not our own in whatever we're praying for. Not just saying the words, "Lord, Your will be done," but to have a heart that desires His will above my will to be performed. It says there in verse 14, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him." It's only through faith in the name of the Son of God that sinners like me, sinners like us, can approach God in prayer and have a confidence that He'll hear us. Look here, you see at the end of verse 14, it begins with the word "and." So that means that verse 13 and 14 go together. 1 John 5, 13. "These things have I written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him." These things are written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Our confidence in prayer is confidence in the name of the Son of God. And it's only through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that we have boldness, we have confidence, we have a welcome access to God's throne of grace. But it's impossible. It is not possible to have confidence in prayer if we do not first believe on the name of the Son of God. If we don't know Him, we cannot have a confidence given by Him. Only sinners who believe on Christ have a confidence in Christ and a confidence to approach God our Father in prayer. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Our confidence is that by approaching God our Father in the name of His Son, He will hear us. And it does not say, if we ask anything, He'll hear us. If we go ask for a new jet plane or a car or just any old thing, it's not what He says. It says that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Asking according to the will of God involves two things. The way that we pray and what we pray for. So first, the way that we approach and ask. It's God's will that we come to Him in the name of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Our confidence to approach God, our Father, is in the name of God's Son. It's the Father's will that we come owning Him to be our Lord and Savior. Paul wrote to us in Ephesians 5:20, says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Involved in the way we approach God is to come owning Him as our Lord, our King, our Master, and we His servants. We own Him to be our Jesus. I come owning Him to be Him being my Savior. It says His name is Jesus, for He shall save His people from our sins. We come owning Him to be our Christ, the one that God anointed and sent to save me as well as all His people. Approaching God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are saying to the Father that we are sinners and that Christ is all of our salvation and all of our righteousness. I'm preaching to myself today. So we pray in Christ's name. That's not just words. We don't say that flippantly. Disregard. That's the only reason and we have a way to approach God is in Him. In His name. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10 with me. Hebrews chapter 10. Involved in the way we approach God in the name of His Son is to have our confidence in His blood. His wounded flesh is our new and living way into the holiest, into God's presence. There in Hebrews 10 verse 19. Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness, for confidence, to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. God's elect children deserve to die for our sins, but displaying that righteousness of God, declaring how holy God is, Christ took our sins upon Himself. And then justly, He bore the curse upon Himself. So Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. So it's Christ's broken body and His shed blood that is our new way into the presence of Holy God. We were cast out. We had no communion. And since Christ is risen, He is our living way. He said, I'm the way, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. When we come to God through faith in the name of His Son, we come speaking of His righteousness alone. Next, the way we approach God in the name of His Son is owning Christ to be our great high priest. Look there in verse 21, Hebrews 10:21. And having an high priest over the house of God. What's the importance of that? In the Old Testament, the high priest entered into the holiest of holies alone. No one else was allowed in there. Only him. And he entered with the blood of a slain lamb that was killed in the place of the children of Israel. Then the high priest sprinkled that blood on the mercy seat, making atonement in a picture and a type, making atonement for the sins of his people. Christ is our high priest. That was just a picture. Now we have the true high priest. Christ is our high priest. He entered God's holy presence alone. We didn't have a hand in it. He entered with his own blood. It wasn't a sacrifice of bullocks and goats. His own blood, having accomplished our redemption. And we ask God the Father to honor Christ who redeemed us by hearing us for His sake, on His name. It's Christ who intercedes for us as our high priest with the Father. Now we can approach God because our confidence is the full assurance of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Look there in verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Praying in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come to God with the confidence that we are the children of our Heavenly Father and He will hear us for the namesake of His Son, our High Priest. Look back a few pages there in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, we'll begin verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in help. Find grace to help in time of need. Him being our high priest, let us therefore come boldly. On that cause, we can come boldly to our Father. We see then that the first thing in praying according to God's will is the way that we pray. We pray in the name of His Son. What that means. The second way, second aspect, is that we ask according to God's will. That involves what we pray for. When God gives us a new heart, that new heart is in submission to God's will. Even when God brings a heavy trial on us. Remember now, it's not God's will to give us what we want. He gives us what we need. A loving father does that. We know that. A small person, they want ice cream all the time. And people say, well, I love them. I couldn't tell them no. If you love them, you tell them no. Make me some broccoli. That's just something simple. We understand that. Our loving Father doesn't give us everything we want. He gives us what we need. We ask for everything. James told us, he said, ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. My lust, my desire is what I want. Oh, let it be a sunshiny day. Whatever it is. Not, that's my will, not the Lord's will. If we ask, if what we ask is not God's will, His will will not be given to us. He won't perform it. Instead, the Holy Spirit will teach His child submission. We may stand and ask the same thing over and over and over again. And the Lord doesn't fulfill our petitions. And then the Spirit will come and teach us to submit to His will, not to our own. We remember Paul had that thorn in the flesh. That was needful. Paul had a great revelation given to him. The Lord gave him great wisdom, great understanding, great knowledge of our Lord and the ability to explain it and stuff. But he had a thorn in the flesh. Three times Paul prayed, said, Lord, take this from me. And the Lord said, my faith is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you to deal with it. And he did. If he'd have took that from Paul, that would have been to Paul's detriment. That wouldn't have been a help to Paul. That was needful. And Paul submitted. He asked three times. There's some things I've asked a lot more than three times. He told us in 2 Corinthians 12, said, therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities in reproaches and necessities, in persecutions and distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul wouldn't have known that if he didn't have that thorn and it didn't stay in him. He wouldn't have looked to the Lord and said, "You're my strength." Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. God reveals in His Word His will so that we know some things that God is willing for us to ask of Him. There in Ephesians 6 and verse 18, it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." It's God's will that we pray in the Spirit. The Lord's people, we don't just say a prayer. We don't simply repeat some words or say something that sounds nice. We don't say our prayers. It's God's will that we pray in the Spirit. That new man put in us, that new heart put in us, petitions our Lord. Has communion with our Lord. And it's earnest and it's sincere. And it says, "And watching with all perseverance." It's God's will we watch in prayer. He told our brethren, we just read there in the scripture reading, He said, "You stay and watch, you don't be tempted." We watch for the proper time to pray, so we won't be tempted. We won't be bothered with the things around us. We don't do it in the middle of a busy street. We watch for what is needed to pray for. We pay attention. What do I need to pray? My brethren suffering? My brethren enjoying themselves? We watch for God to answer our prayer in His time. We wait on the Lord in prayer. Not in our time, in His time. And we do this with all perseverance. We do this with all persistence. We don't stop praying, we continue to pray. Continue to submit to our Lord. And it says, "In all supplications for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." It's God's will that we pray for His saints, and we pray for His preachers, for the message they are to speak and the boldness to face opposition as we ought. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 6. We've looked at this before. It's just such a blessing to see it often, be reminded often. Matthew chapter 6. Learn that what God is willing for us to pray for from our Lord Jesus. And that model prayer He gives us. He didn't mean for us to simply say this prayer over and over again. Here's not a prefab prayer. But this is a model. It shows us some things that God is willing for us to pray for. Christ said there, Matthew 6, verse 9, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." It's the Lord's will that we ask for God's name to be sanctified above everything. Lord, Your name be hallowed. "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." It's the Lord's will that we ask God to His will to be done for the good of His kingdom on this earth. While we're here, that His will be performed the exact same way it is in His heavenly kingdom. "Give us this day our daily bread." We pray for today's needs. Grace for today. Today's when I need today's grace. I don't need tomorrow's grace tomorrow. Right now, I need help right now. And we pray for that living bread to come to us. Lord, show me Christ today. Let me feast on Him today. Verse 12, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." It's the Lord's will for us to confess our sin to Him. That we ask His forgiveness for our sins and that we forgive those indebted to us due to their offenses towards us as God forgives our offenses towards Him. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's the Lord's will that we ask Him to lead us, to keep us, and to deliver us from the evil that's ourselves. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It's His will for His child to give Him all the glory and all the preeminence in all things. Lord, this is Your kingdom. It's Your power. And Lord, glory is Yours forever. Amen. So we see that praying according to God's will involves the way we pray, and it involves what we pray. Back to our text there, 1 John 5. We have a confidence that we have our petitions. Our prayers are met. And we have there in verse 14, 1 John 5:14. And we have this confidence in Christ that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Knowing that God hears us, we know that we have the petitions we desire of Him. If we know He hears us. The key to that is that we pray according to His will. God does all things according to His will and only according to His will. We've talked about this before. We'll have a big old prayer meeting. I was invited to a prayer meeting the other day. I respectfully declined. I don't know who they're praying to, but it's not a mutiny. We're not going to gang up on the Lord and twist His arm. If we get enough people, we can make some things change. The change happens in the heart of God's child. You show up asking for something, and you're going to walk away in submission, looking to Him for all things. Said, Lord, Your name be hallowed. Your glory be given to You. Your will be done as You see fit. But for those that know Him, He hears us. Those that believe on His Son, He hears us. And we know that our petitions are fulfilled. And all who God hears, He grants the petitions we desired of Him. Everything in salvation is worked according to God's eternal will. I want to be with my Redeemer. I want to be saved from myself, from this world, from eternal damnation. And I want to know Christ, and I want to be with Christ. Is that the Lord's will? It ain't man's will. You ain't going to accomplish it. He said in Ephesians 1:5, Paul wrote to us, said, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. In Acts 4 it says, for of a truth against the holy child Jesus, whom Thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever Thy hand and Thy counsel determined before to be done. I've heard people say, if I was there at the cross, I'd have stopped them. Not if you was a sinner, you wouldn't have. Those wicked men and their wicked hands put Christ on that cross according to the Lord's will, for His eternal purpose to be accomplished for His people. Ephesians 1:11, it says, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Nothing changes God's will. He is unchanging. His will is unchanging. And thankful for you and me. Praise be to God. Salvation in His Son is unchanging. Some may say, why do we pray then? We looked at that the other night. When we start seeing the sovereignty of God, His almighty hand in the elements of this earth, the things me and you can't see, we become fatalists, don't we? Why? What's it matter? If all these things, if His will is going to be done anyway, why should I pray? Turn over to Ezekiel 36. God uses prayer to bring His child into submission to His will. Ezekiel 36. God declared His will for His people, nothing would change His will. That is what God declared long before He ever brought it to pass. He said, here's what I'm going to do. And then He did it. But God said that the house of Israel would ask Him to do His will for them. So it would not be God's will that would change. It would be the will of His people that would be brought to submit to His will. The change will happen in us. Ezekiel 36, verse 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and to do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. That sounds definite. That sounds like man ain't got a hand in it. Lord's going to save His people. He keeps going on there and telling us all the things He will do. Well, if He's going to do them, why don't we just sit back and let it happen? Look at verse 37. Ezekiel 36, 37. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. He said, I'm going to do everything. You're going to ask me to do it. You will inquire me to do it. Well, what's the purpose of that? We submit to His will. We bow to Him. We have a general prayer. We pray, there's a general call and a specific call. Every time I preach, there's a general call made. I tell you who Christ is. But then there's an effectual call. The Lord uses that message to go into the heart of His child and make them believe it. Make them submit to His will. When we pray, we ask for some general things. The Lord puts a petition in the heart of His child. We ask for, in Christ's name and for His glory, and according to His will, that His sheep will be called out. Lord, save Your people. Make Yourself known to Your elect child that hasn't yet heard of You. We ask the Lord to do that. And we know that because that's His will, He will call out His sheep. We know He hears us, and we know that that petition will be answered. Because it's His will. He will not lose one of them. And in His appointed time, He will give His lost child a new heart because it's His will to do so. We know that our prayer has been answered. Lord, if You have any children, save them. He's going to. That's a general prayer, but the same thing goes for our personal prayers. Christ said, Your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask them. Then the Spirit of God puts prayer in our hearts according to the will of God with groanings that cannot be uttered. He knows what we needed first. And then He puts that petition in our heart. He makes us pray as we ought for what we ought according to God's will. Christ also intercedes for us with the Father so that our prayer comes out to the Father in perfection in that sweet incense. Because He's our high priest. John's words used here came directly from Christ our Master, who said, What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them and you shall have them. In other words, knowing that God our Father hears us, we know that He will not turn away from us, but we shall have whatever we need. He's a perfect Father. Seeing how He provided for us, He gave us, His people, righteousness. Lord God Almighty gave you forgiveness. You think He's going to give you something little? How am I going to pay the bills? What am I going to eat? Am I going to lose my job? God Almighty gave His Son righteousness to you. He put your sin on His Son. If we ask Him of these things, to provide for us. Do you think He's able? You think we'll receive our petition? Lord, keep me forever. Don't let me stray. Keep me looking to Christ. You think He's able? For you that know the Lord, don't you want His will to be done? I've lived in this will. I've experienced my own will enough to know that I don't know what's best. If I make a decision, it's going to be the wrong decision. And I see a glimpse of His perfection, His wisdom, His power, His mercy and grace. Do I want my will done or do I want the Lord's will done? I want His will done. We have an all-wise, all-powerful, and loving God. Lord, Your will be done. And teach us to submit to Your will in all things. Lord, teach me. Teach me to pray as I ought. Let's pray together. Father, as we come before Your throne, Lord, let us worship You. Let us give all praise, glory to You. And let us understand that the only way we can approach Your throne in this earth or after is in the blood, the righteousness, and the perfection of Your Son. Lord, let us praise Him. Teach us what He has done for us. Keep us in remembrance of these things so we can always look to Him and be humbled. Let us submit to Your will, Lord, in all things. And we ask, Lord, Your will be done. Lord, You've told us, You've promised salvation in Your Son for Your people. We are confident. We come to You in confidence, Lord, knowing You'll call out Your children. Come to You in confidence, knowing that You'll keep us, because we cannot keep ourselves. And our Savior will present us faultless before Your throne. Oh, give us a heart that rejoices, Lord. And keep us praying. Keep us submitting. Keep us joyful always. We ask these things because of our Savior, because of our Master, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.